rock and classical eras. I was once told that many surgeons do their surgery to calming piano music like that, that it keeps them steady, it keeps heartbeats sort of slowly regulated, and it takes away from the pressure and the tension of the operation underway. And I suspect it might actually have the same effect for you and me. It's so relaxing. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. Peter Tilse, our finance commentator, is away. So I've called in the big guns. My guest is a guy called Marcel von Pfeiffer. He's Swiss by heritage, so you'll have to forgive him. He runs a hedge fund based here in Australia. Marcel von Pfeiffer is from Arminius Capital. Marcel von Pfeiffer, good morning to you. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for having me. Can I just talk about surgeons operating to music? You may have seen one of the Marvel comic installments, Doctor Strange. And before the neurosurgeon Doctor Strange became the mystical Doctor Strange in a superhero, he used to operate to full-on loud heavy metal and dance music. So anyway.
So you're saying I'm wrong?
I'm saying that the evidence begs to differ because you understand, of course, that the comic world is based in reality, Steve. So.
I didn't know you were a devotee of Doctor Strange in Marvel Comics.
Absolutely. Love it.
Well, I'm very grateful you came in. As someone who runs a hedge fund, I need you to explain, in simple terms, what is a hedge fund, Marcel von Pfeiffer?
A hedge fund, in essence, is no different to any other type of fund. Investors, mums and dads, put their money with us. They trust us with their money. And the word hedge means that if things go south, that is, if prices drop, we're expected to not lose them money. So if you invest into a normal managed fund, when you have very bad periods in life, like 1987, the tech crash in the 90s, the GFC, obviously, hedge funds are not supposed to lose as much money as if you were just invested in the market itself.
All right. Now, at the moment, if you were investing in the stock market, you'd be making not a great deal of money, I think. What would you be making if you're investing in the stock market?
2017, so year to date as we speak, has not been particularly kind in Australia. The market, the price level of the stock market is actually only up 0.19%. Okay, so 0.1%.
So if you invest in the stock market, you're only just making some money.
Yes. It's the price level of the Australian stock market has paled into insignificance compared to what the Americans have done, not only this year, but also going back to 2009. But yeah, so 2017 in Australia, we've been beset on all sides in this country, particularly the banking sector, the tail end of the commodities collapse, which is still playing out, Steve. And May was a very brutal month. Your listeners who hold the big four banks, I'm sure they probably don't appreciate me reminding them of this, but the big four banks on average fell about 12% in May, in one month.
Was this as a result of Scott Morrison's bank levy announcement or something else?
That absolutely had something to do with it, but from our perspective, this has been a slow train coming. The Australian banks have had a very... how can I put this? A very exquisite, protected existence. They are, as my colleague Neil refers to, they are a protected species. In Australia, you do not see banks in Europe nor America with the level of protection that the regulator affords the banking sector in Australia. So it's been a slow train coming, Steve, but again, the listeners would be very cognizant of the pending clouds on the horizon. And I'm speaking, of course, about the ridiculous level of housing price affordability in Australia. And the banks, the banks have had it coming, Steve.
If you're investing in the stock market, you often go to blue chips like banks to make money. So this is one indicator as to why you're not making much money in the stock market. What would you be making if you invested in a hedge fund in Australia? Are you making money for your clients or not?
Yep. Otherwise, you probably would have invited me on, Steve. The marketing department would have kept me at home.
Correct.
So look, we're having a very blessed 2017 so far. We're up about 7.8%. As I sit here with them.
7.8?
Yep, 7.8%.
And if you're investing in the stock market, you're getting just under one.
Well, Yes.
That's where everyone's superannuation is, you realise.
This is precisely the problem, Steve. And hedge funds, as you and I have discussed before, and as I did a presentation about a month ago, actually, which was the end result of a listener of yours who heard me on this radio station. And I opened the presentation by saying, hedge funds are bad. Okay, and that was my opening slide. So, yes, so the government and the regulator insist that the hedge funds cause the GFC, that we are still very, very bad people, and yet the vast proportionate majority of Australian citizens who have their money invested in the Australian stock market, I will pause and say, which is constituted when you take the big four banks, BHP and Rio, that's probably 30% of the stock market. The top 20 stocks in Australia are 50% of the stock market. So every Aussie's hard-earned cash has been invested, and in 2017 it's gone almost nowhere and we've made almost 8%.
Australians have their money invested in the stock market, whether they know it or not, through their superannuation.
Indeed.
And it's going nowhere.
It's been a very difficult year for those people who have a tilt towards Australia. And again, the regulators... and a lot of platforms, a lot of other groups, they seek solace that if it's in Australia, it's safe. And I'm afraid that people remember that Australia is called the lucky country, but the derivation of that phrase was actually not that Australia per se is lucky and is blessed. Mm. The derivation of where that saying came from is that it's actually in spite of the leadership of the country, we are still indeed doing very, very well, hence the term the lucky country was phrased.
My guest is Marcel von Pfeiffer from the Australian. Are you Australian or are you Swiss-based hedge fund?
We are Australian. Okay. I'm having sufficient enough concerns in this country with regulatory oversight that we are going to have to make a little decision going forward as to where to base ourselves in the future. As I said before, we are a hedge fund. On paper, Steve, that actually means almost nothing. We buy and sell Telstra, we buy and sell ANZ, we do other things as well, but purely because of the moniker attached to the word hedge fund, ASIC and the regulators and the custodians and the platforms put us in another bucket, and we are subjected to a tremendous level of regulatory oversight, which, to be quite frank, is actually quite non-commercial in many regards.
So you're making 7%, and the stock market in Australia made less than 1%, but you're being forced offshore.
We're not being forced offshore, but if you were to be absolutely commercial about the decision, right, if things don't change in Australia in the financial services industry, and they are changing, but not in quite the direction that I would like them to, it is easier to do what we do in other jurisdictions, yes.
Marcel von Pfeiffer from Arminius Capital is my guest. What's the Market Risk Volatility Index? What does it do, and does it matter at the moment?
The VIX
is quite high.
Yeah. The VIX at the moment is actually historically low. The VIX is prone to sporadically bursting up. 2030 in the GFC, it moved 80% higher than where it had been a month before. In 2015, in August, when we had that little China wobble in Australia and the stock market fell 8%, the VIX again increased about 70%. So what the VIX means, it's talking about the jumpiness of the stock market. The VIX itself is about the S&P 500, which is the US stock market of 500 stocks in America. But volatility is a market gauge, effectively, of how fearful or how nervous people are about what's around the corner. It's not always what we call a leading indicator, Steve. So you don't look at it right now and you think, the VIX is at 10 or 15, that means things are going to be dangerous in 1 month's time. It is very coincidental. So the VIX will spike just as bad stuff is happening.
So Australia, position relationship with China is very close, the most important trading partner.
Yeah.
It's the second largest economy, and much of the commentary at the moment has been around that if China has more than those wobbles that we had a little while back, something more severe from the size of their debt, will we have a major problem? Can I get you to speak to that? Could a financial or a debt crisis in China take down Australia?
Take down, I think, would be too strong a word or too strong terminology, but there will be material impacts upon Australia when, Steve, not if, when, what is happening in the shadow banking sector in China, the insurance markets in China, the investment markets in China, is reined in by the Chinese authorities. So,
explain me what shadow banking is.
Sorry. As soon as I said that. So shadow banking in Australia, if you want a loan, you go out to an institution called CBA or NAB and you fill out a form and they lend you money. It's a regulated industry. The shadow banking system exists in Europe. It exists in America, but it's regulated in both of those countries. So you will go to a private... It could even be a private company. Mm-hmm. In America, there are certain firms, private equity firms, who specifically invest into this. So it's basically just a company, and they do their own credit checks on a person who comes to them and says, "I need to borrow $10,000," and they lend them the money. It'll be at an interest rate that is materially higher than if you had just walked into CBA and approached them. And what's happened in China is that the size of the shadow banking sector is becoming a proportion of the size larger than the actual banking sector itself, right? So this is approaching what we would say terminal velocity. The difference in China, so you've got two differences in the shadow banking sectors. Is that in China, it's unregulated, so nobody knows what's going on. And the second thing is, in China, the Chinese authorities have a vested interest, because it's a communist society, is that if something goes wrong, they quash it or they try and fix it quickly. So if something blows up in China, it may not have the same ramifications as if something blows up in a Western financial market society. Mm-hmm. The government is all-powerful and all-encompassing, and they can step in and fix it. But what we think will happen... Not this year, Steve. We think that because they're... So what's going to happen in September is that it'll be the 19th Party Congress that'll be held in Beijing, and that'll dictate what the next five-year plan will be. So President Xi will have... There will be no hiccups this year, Steve. Okay? So this year we're okay. Mm-hmm. Sometime in the next 2 to 3 years, we would expect that there will be dislocation in the banking sector in China. And to answer your question, yes, that will absolutely impact Australia.
So not this year.
Not this year.
But September there will be the Chinese Party Congress.
Yep.
And they will project, they will announce their five-year plan.
They're actually so secretive that they don't actually tell you when it will be. It will be September or October. But
okay. That's all we know.
Please don't hold me to September because I'm not a member of the party. So.
I understand. And when that happens, at some stage in the next 2 years after that, you're suggesting that there will be a major realignment of the Chinese economy that will impact Australia.
Absolutely. And you are, look, the smart money already knows that this is coming. Okay, so I shouldn't have done that, but we choose not to invest in China actively. So we refuse to invest in China purely because of unknown unknowns. We do know that something very bad is coming, and the mantra of our hedge fund is capital preservation, so we do not take undue risk irrespective of what reward that may offer. We don't know what's going to happen in China, so we just don't invest there. So the smart money in Australia, you know, there are very good reasons why hard coking coal has dropped 20%, why iron ore has dropped 30% in the past year. It is slowing down in China. It is a controlled slowdown, engineered and orchestrated by the party in China. China is our largest trading partner. The share prices of BHP and Rio are very, very low because people know that the demand required in the Chinese economy, which is undergoing a major reset in how their GDP is formulated, or the contributors to GDP in China, that is going to go through a major change in this next five-year plan.
I have to go, Pickett, but Andrew of Morningside is a retired public servant, watches his Q Super account. He said his return this year is approximately 10%.
Yep. Well, he's probably in a very, very aggressive... I mean, Q Super has more than just one fund.
Yes.
And if Andrew looks at the Australian equities contribution to his 10%, it'll be about 0.1%. So good for him. Again, if he is in that aggressive option, which he's returned 10%, which is excellent, well done. I just go back to the GFC and just have a look at what your Q Super account did in 2008.
I have to go. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Stephen.
From Doctor Strange and heavy metal to the Chinese Communist Party. Marcel von Pfeiffer from Arminius Capital. ABC.